Jesus said, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out." So, how do we know that we abide in Jesus Christ? Coming up on Cross Connection. Welcome to Cross Connection. We are so glad you have joined us today. And Sergio, we are always excited because this is where the Word of God comes alive.
We're all excited, can't you tell?
Absolutely.
And we're so excited because our study is not complete without you. Today we're talking about abiding in Jesus and His love, but this leads to a simple question. How do we do that? So join our study, get connected with us, and let's discuss today's question. How do we know we are abiding in Jesus?
And I'm also glad because we are joined today by Louise. Say hi, Louise.
Greetings
to your husband, Joel and Elroy. And I know that your wife is watching also. You just recently got married. How long ago was it?
Congratulations.
3 weeks ago. And Louise was also just recently married about how many months ago?
Just about six months ago.
So it's a great study because I've been married for 3 years and I'm just as happy as you.
Amen.
One day after the marriage. So let's just say greetings to all of our girlfriends. Thank you very much for joining us, because when we study the Word of God, our hearts are on fire, because God and Jesus Christ, they want us to be happy whenever we open the Scripture.
Amen.
And I would like to encourage you, whenever you open your Bible with your children, maybe we go even further.
Wow.
If you watch us and you have children, whenever you open the Scripture, always open it with a smile and laughter, because we want our children to know and to see that, this is a book that brings us happiness.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the book that brings us sadness. No. So that's why we are always happy whenever we open the Scripture. And I'm excited about today's study especially. And before we go into our study, let's say a word of prayer. And Elroy, could you pray for us?
Sure. Father God, Lord, we thank you for this moment. Moment when we get to dive straight into the Word.
Mm-hmm.
So we ask that we put on our best gear, our minds and our hearts, and keep us open to what you have to tell us today, is our prayer in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, so I hope you've done your homework, and I hope you've done your homework as well, because we are studying the Gospel according to
John.
What's the test today?
The Gospel according to John, and what chapter are we in?
Chapter 15.
Chapter 15, very good. Sorry for those stupid questions, but those are very important, because as you probably know, the Gospel according to John can be divided into two sections.
Mm-hmm.
First section is the Book of Signs, which is chapter 1 through 12. The Book of Signs. And the second half is the Book of Glory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's chapter 13 through 21. Let's take a look at how the Book of Glory begins.
Mm-hmm.
In chapter 13. So we're talking about the Book of Glory. And how does the Book of Glory begin?
And should I jump in? Okay.
Yes.
First verse?
No, just tell me what is recorded there.
Oh, what is recorded there? That's Jesus washing his disciples' feet.
Okay, so how does the Book of Glory begin?
Washing
humility.
Feet with service.
Humility.
Humility.
Humility. Yeah. So what was the location of that?
The upper room.
The upper room. Very good. So we were in the upper room. Then what about chapter 14? We are still in the upper room,
mm-hmm.
where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," all those things. We are still in the upper room.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But let's see what happens at the very end of chapter 14. And Sergio is smiling. Let's see what happens in chapter 14, Sergio.
I'll read the very last line of 14, verse 31.
Okay.
It says, Jesus says, "Arise, let us go from here." Mm-hmm.
So let us go from where?
From the upper room.
Okay, let's get into the Word right now. And this is a magic word. Look what happens behind me.
Wow.
Look. Let's get into the Word. So we actually left the upper room.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And when you leave the upper room, we are in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In Jerusalem, there was a superstructure. There was a skyscraper.
Mm.
It's just like a skyscraper in the village. What was that? Help me. It's behind Sergio.
Yeah.
What is that?
The temple.
The temple.
The temple. Exactly. Because it was just like the skyscraper in the village of Columbia or something like that. Yeah. So it was huge. Mm-hmm. Whenever you would walk out from your house, you would see the first thing you would see would be what?
The temple.
The temple, of course. Yeah. But let's go to chapter 15 now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we are in the context. Mm-hmm. Upper room, the foot washing. Now we walk out from the upper room. Mm-hmm. The first thing we see is, wow, this is the glorious temple. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what is Jesus saying? Mm-hmm. Let us read John chapter 15, verses 1. And Luis, could you read for us?
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser.
Hmm. Wait a second. when we read the Gospels, we always read the Gospels in the context, and we see like Jesus is walking down the fields, and mm-hmm. he says, look at the birds, look at the mm-hmm. trees, look at the flowers. Look. So he was always bringing examples from the life that was around him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now he talks about something else. I am the true vine. Mm-hmm. When they just walked out from the upper room, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And trust me, you will be amazed to discover something, and I will be amazed as well. Just just a little while later. So
you're gonna amaze yourself.
Hang on with us. Don't go anywhere. Buckle up. Don't move. Move, because we will find something. Mm-hmm. But what is the first word that that we see in John chapter 15?
I am.
I am. Mm-hmm. Luis, you know the program. You can just lead the program.
No.
I am. Is there anything special about I am in the Gospel according to John? Tell me.
Tell me. I mean, we have these throughout. Jesus has these I am statements where he says, mm-hmm. I am the bread. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am, I am, I am. And this is another one.
Okay, very good. So I am, I am, I am statements. Mm-hmm. Let's go through each one of them very quickly. The first one is, I am the bread of life. Mm-hmm. And it's recorded in John chapter 6. So, Louise, tell us, what does it mean to you that Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life?
Yeah, I think of, I guess, just incredible, like, satiation for, like, eternity. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and because I guess I think literal bread, because I had really good bread last night. But it only sustained myself and my husband for just a few hours.
Yeah.
But with Jesus, he can sustain us in a different way, spiritually, eternally.
Mm. This is very good. Okay, let's go to our second statement. I am the light of the world. Mm. So let's take a look. I am the light of the world in John chapter 8, verses 12 and also 9:5. And Joel, what comes to your mind when you hear Jesus saying these words?
You know, when I think of the light of the world, I always think of Matthew chapter 5, where he talks about the candle on the hilltop. Mm-hmm. We're called to be, you know, like, you know, like those people on a hilltop shining his light. Mm-hmm. We need to understand that we are in a dark world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, you know, it makes sense. You know, I'm a Christian. I need to be out there shining not my light,
yes,
but his light.
Mm. Very good.
Because if I keep shining my light, I'm just going to lead others into darkness.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Mm. Okay, let's go to our third
I am
statement. Yes. And which is, before Abraham was, I am. This is a hard one. Luis, what do you think?
Okay.
Before Abraham was, I am. What does it mean in your life?
Well, actually, just, you know, it just takes me back to Genesis.
Okay.
It takes me back to creation, thinking, you know, before Abraham, before the prophets, the mm-hmm. patriarchs, there was Christ.
Yes.
He was there from the very beginning.
Very good. Mm-hmm. And this resonates with John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the mm-hmm. Word was with God, and the Word was
God.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Excellent. Let's go to our next statement. I am the door. And we'll give this one to Sergio. Sergio, I am the door. Let's take a look.
I got to thank Cross Connection for this one, and mm-hmm. You directly, Oleg, because I had always thought that it was an imperfect analogy that Jesus says, I am the shepherd and I am the door. Doesn't make sense. How can you be both?
Okay, let's
things?
Talk about the second one as well. I am the door and I am the good shepherd.
Yeah,
is just two verses.
How can you be both things? It's mm-hmm. not a good analogy. But then when you said that shepherds used to, there was a pen for the sheep and they used to sleep in front of the entryway to protect them, then it makes perfect sense how you could be a shepherd and the door at the same time. So Jesus is the way, but he also guides us through that way. Mm. So I thought that was very cool.
This is very good. So Jesus is truly the door and the shepherd in our life.
Yeah.
This is very good. And in our lives as well.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, Elroy. Jesus also said, I am the resurrection and the life when he resurrected Lazarus. What does it mean in your life?
To me, that's actually the most beautiful of all. It means that anything that was dead within me, whether it's my faith, whether it's my emotion, whether it's my ability to do anything, God mm-hmm. has the power to resurrect that and give that life.
Mm. Very good. Excellent. And almost the last one. I am, Jesus also says in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and
the life.
The life. Mm-hmm. So let's just all of, whoever wants to jump in, whose favorite is this one?
I like it because it's so inclusive. It's kind of like what we just talked about. He is the way, but, you know, he guides us through the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the everything. I love it.
Okay. What is there anything to add?
I think it's the ultimate philosophy. You know, we're always trying to find out what's definitive and what's absolute. And I think Christ just, he trumps all absolutes and just saying anything you think of, any philosophy or idea that you have, I stand and I rise above all of that.
This is very good.
Great point.
Okay, yeah. You know, that also gives me hope because living in this dark world, truth is not something that everyone is out there telling people. We, you know, our tendency is, you know, to tell lies to so we can get around things, to make protect ourselves. But people want to know the truth. You know, people are dying to know the truth. Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to this person? They want to know the truth.
So and the truth is in Jesus Christ. Yeah. Okay, and the last one. I am, and let's take a look. I am the true vine.
The true vine,
and
yeah.
No wonder this is the last one, because to be honest, that is the most important one. And we will discover why in just a few seconds. But before we actually go into discovery of why it is so significant and so important, we also read that Jesus says, I'm the true vine and my Father is
the vine dresser.
So whenever you read these verses, what is the first thing that comes to your mind?
Grape juice.
Grape juice? What else comes to your mind?
Well, I guess just kind of the stomping of the feet with the grapes. But yeah, that's the grape juice.
Oh, really? Grape juice? What about you, Roy?
I literally just think of a vine.
Vine, okay. Let's look at the vine then. Because this is what comes to your mind. So we can see this man cutting. This is what comes to
like
your
gardening.
Mind.
Yeah, gardening.
Yeah, gardening. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty much like gardening. Mm-hmm. This is what we think about it. Disciples, on the other hand, when Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser, they had something else in their mind. Really?
What was it?
Why did you say yes? What was it? Let's take a look. Let's take a look. And in order to see it, let's jump to Psalm 80, verse 8 and 9. Whoever gets there first gets a prize. Okay. Gets to read. Psalm 80, verse 8. And Louise, yes. I think you were the first one.
Yeah.
Let's read Psalm 80, verses 8 and 9.
And 9. Yes. You have brought a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations and planted it. You prepared room for it and caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land.
Okay, so who brought out the vine out of Egypt? Who was that?
God brought.
God brought what? Vine?
Vine.
I always thought that it was Israelites who were brought out of Egypt. What was it? Tell me.
Well, is that then what it means? Yeah.
Analogy, yeah.
So what does the symbol vine represent then?
The Israelites.
The Israelites. Okay, this is very good. So when Jesus said, I am the true vine, the disciples were like, oh, we thought the Israel was the true vine. Wait a second. And that's the topic of today's hidden treasure.
Cool.
And we will go to that. We will jump to that in just 1 second. So we just briefly remind ourselves. We just walked out with Jesus and his disciples out of
the upper room.
The first thing we see is
the temple.
And Jesus says, I am the true vine. Why? Let's take a look at the hidden treasure. Symbols are an essential part of human life. We see them everywhere. And it's especially true with nations. The bald eagle is the symbol of the United States. The two-headed eagle is the symbol of Russia. And the rising sun represents Japan. And for today's hidden treasure, we'll take a look at another national symbol, the grapevine. You see, the grapevine was the prominent symbol of the nation of Israel, representing life and hope. In fact, in Psalm 80, verse 8, we read a song about Israel. You, God, have brought a vine, Israel, out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations and planted it. The greatest, most prominent symbol in Israel was the grapevine. But the greatest structure was the temple. It was the only place on earth that housed the presence of God Himself. So, how are the grapevine and the temple related? The Jewish historian Josephus writes that the crown of the temple was ornamented with golden vines from which clusters of grapes hung as tall as a man's height. The temple was adorned with golden vines, because the temple was something that gave life and hope to the nation of Israel. After all, this was the very place where God himself was supposed to dwell. So, the temple represented God's presence, and it was adorned with the grapevine, a symbol of life and hope. But then Jesus comes along and says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." In Jesus, we don't just get an empty symbol that points to some hope in the future. Jesus is so much more than that. In him, we get a very real connection to God. And you can know that it's real because his love will bear fruit in your life. And that's today's hidden treasure. And that was today's hidden treasure. Your reaction.
It reminds me of Christ and the connection with the temple.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
God was where the ceremonies that would take place. It's mm-hmm. really to communicate with yeah. the Israelites. Mm-hmm. So just to be able to commune, a relationship, that's what I think.
Mm-hmm. This is so important because, yeah. in fact, if we read the Gospel according to John, multiple times we see that Jesus is saying, even the Samaritan woman, remember this discussion between Samaritan woman and Jesus, the Samaritan woman says, "Wait a second, we were supposed to worship in this place." Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, "No, the time will come, neither you will worship in Jerusalem nor mm-hmm. in this place, mm-hmm. because I am the temple. Yeah, right. Where two or three people are gathered yeah. together, I yeah, am yeah, among
yeah.
them."
Yeah. Yeah.
So Jesus is constantly reminding us.
Yeah. That, no, I thought it was really cool. I had never had that connection between the grapevine and the temple. I had just thought it was just an analogy because he thought it was a good analogy. But the connection to the temple is really cool because, like Louise said, now it's about a connection. Now it's about a relationship. The temple's where God used to dwell, but now he wants us to connect to him so that it's now a relationship where God dwells in us and we dwell in him. It's very mm-hmm. cool.
Mm-hmm. And that is what, yeah.
You know, the reason why he wants to have the connection, in verse 1, we read, "My father is the vine dresser." Mm-hmm. In other words, it says husbandman. Mm-hmm. It basically means, it derives from a Hebrew word, ikawar. It means someone who cultivates the soil, works on mm-hmm. the soil. So God wants to be among his people and work with them. Mm-hmm. You know, so they can have a true connection with the mm-hmm. vine.
Mm. This is very good. And let's just continue moving forward, and it will be amazing what we will discover next. And Elroy, could you read for us verse 2 of John chapter 15, verse 2.
I'm reading from verse 2. It says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit."
Hmm. What does the first part of this verse tell you?
The taking away of the vine, you mean?
Yeah. What does this verse tell you?
It reads that any branch that doesn't bear fruit, it gets taken away.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm. it almost sounds like there will be people who will have or seem to have a connection with Jesus Christ, but they won't be bearing any fruits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he'll take them away because they're putting up a front, you know, mm-hmm. that they have a connection with Jesus.
Okay. And we just learned, and this is very interesting, but what if I told you that if we look at this slightly differently, we will see something else maybe. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned that Jesus gives a different perspective on what it means to be a true vine. Mm. And many Christians today understand that you will be cut away if you don't bear any fruits, mm-hmm. even though you abide in Jesus Christ.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But you will be surprised to learn something else as well. Yeah.
That's right. And now is a perfect time, and before we go to break, to connect with us by answering today's question. We want to hear from you. How do we know we are abiding in Jesus? Get connected.
Welcome back to Cross Connection. The study of the Word of God is just sets our hearts on fire. Mm-hmm. We cannot keep it to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And you please don't keep it to yourself. That's why share your comments mm-hmm. with us as well.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay, so what happens to those branches that don't bear fruit according to verse 2 as we read it?
Well, it's taken away.
It's taken away.
Mm-hmm. And every branch that bears fruit,
Yeah.
Then it gets pruned mm-hmm. so that more can be formed.
This is very good, but and this is very interesting, because if we read it, and I would like us to see this text on the screen, just full screen, so that we can see. This is the one version. If we read it, every branch that is in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. Mm. Mm. But so you can see it. There is one thing that I would like to highlight in me. And then he takes away, and then he prunes. Mm-hmm. Mm. But if we read the same verse in like in Greek, just in Greek, without any translation, just in Greek, and we will not try to read it in Greek, we'll try to translate it. This is what you will see. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he lifts up. Mm. And every branch that bears fruit, he cleans, that it may bear more fruit. Mm. Mm. Let's read the following verse, verse 3. And Joel, read for us verse 3.
Sure. 15, verse 3. You are already clean because the word which I spoke to you.
Amen.
So the same word that is used here, clean, it means kathairo, is exactly the same word that is used for he prunes. And also the word that is used for takes away is actually exactly the same word that is used for lifting up. Hmm. For instance, when somebody was ill, like this man who was brought to Jesus, and their roof was unpacked and unlocked, and then this man was lowered to the floor. What is the word that is used there? He was lifted up. Lift up. Arise. Arise. Rise up. Mm. The same word that is used here.
That's crazy, because it's a completely different meaning. It's a completely different meaning than what we read here. Takes away or lifts up is completely different.
But it's not the end. Look at one of the words that we highlighted there. Every branch that is in me.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah. Okay. Mm.
In me that doesn't bear fruit, he lifts it up.
Mm. Interesting.
That's powerful.
Okay, let me just tell you something. It doesn't mean that God will not judge. Mm-hmm. It does not. Mm-hmm. Let's jump to verse 6. In the same chapter, verse 6, and Sergio, you can jump there.
You want me to read 15, verse 6?
Yes. Okay.
If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned.
Okay. Mm. So what we just talked about does not mean that, okay, we don't have to worry about it, because even if I don't bear fruits, God will just lift me up. No, wait a second. Right. What did you read, Sergio? Can you interpret what you just read?
Oh, interpret whatever. Yeah, that basically, if you're not connected, you withered, you fall apart, and a dead branch just gets burned eventually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you will, if you can eventually just, if you're not connected, you're just thrown into fire. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But verse 2 again, if you're in Jesus, in him, Jesus will not take you away.
Praise God.
He will lift you up.
Amen.
Praise God.
Even if you don't bear fruit.
Mm. Right.
And then he continues, but if you bear fruit, and you will start bearing fruit, and there will be small, and I will start cleaning you. So that you can bear even more fruit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Elroy.
It's weird. I feel like I think about two different coaches in American football. I know. And I think of one coach who has a lot of, you know, football players on the team. Mm-hmm. And if one player on the team, like, drops a pass or drops a few passes in succession, he's immediately, you know, cut off from the team. He's not producing. You know, and I think of another coach who, and another player does the same thing, but the coach gives him a second chance over and over and over again. Why? Because the player actually believes in the coach's system. He actually believes. And I feel like Jesus is saying the same exact thing. If you believe in me, if you continue to follow my system, no matter how you feel, no matter how many times you fall,
you're not going to get cut from the roster.
You're never going to get cut from the roster.
No, but this is so amazing, because I was always reading this verse as every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away, away, and just throw it in the branch or fire, because I don't bear more fruit. But This is amazing, because remember what is the symbol of Israel?
The vine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What did God do when the vine, Israel, was not producing any fruit? In fact, nowhere in the Old Testament will you be able to find even one verse where God would say, you, good Israel, you bear good fruits. It was always bad fruits. Always. Yeah, so they were always, try to find one, and yeah, this is a challenge for you as well. Try to find one verse where Israel was bearing good fruits in the Old Testament.
So there's a lot of cleaning going on.
Cleaning. Yeah. But it's not even the end. They were not even bearing good fruits. They were bearing bad fruits. Mm-hmm. But he didn't take them away. he sent Jesus. He said, I want you to be lifted up by my own son. I want the entire world to be lifted up by my own son. By me, by I myself decided to just descend. He, God said, I want to descend.
And you know, we're talking a lot about the importance of abiding and being connected, but the thread throughout this whole conversation is, okay, but how do we do that exactly? And so we've been talking a lot. I'm going to jump in with some audience, or at least one audience comment real quick. And a comment here from Mark on Facebook. He says, allowing God's word into our lives continuously. Kind of like what we're doing right now. That's a way to abide, is just let his word flow into you and through you and change you. And so I really like what Mark had to say.
And this is simply amazing, because if you imagine this branch, the vine, that Jesus is the vine, and if you're a branch that is attached to the vine, do you think Jesus would like to cut this vine from himself? Because you're attached to the vine. He wouldn't, because he will hurt his own self. He will hurt himself. Because when you take it away. But, as we read in verse 6, but if you wither yourself, you don't want to be attached. You wither yourself. And you just fall apart. You just fall.
You know, and we're talking about how do you have this, how do you make this connection? But the thing is, ultimately, that's what this passage is a connection. And that we talk about all the different I am statements. This last I am statement is maybe the most important, because this I am statement is followed by a you are. You know, I am the vine, you are the branches. It's about a connection now. It's not just what Jesus is kind of independent of us. It's I am, you are, let's connect together. And that's what I love, this I am statement.
This is great. Let me ask you a question now. Is it possible for a Christian not to bear fruits? Okay.
Well, when you say Christian, you mean a Christian that is connected to the vine?
Sorry, let me just rephrase it. Is it possible to abide in Christ and not to bear fruit?
It could appear that you're not bearing fruit, because there could be some pruning aspect growing. I mean, the cleaning aspect growing on, because it's, I mean, there are times where we need to be lifted up. And so there's certain aspects of things that we need to learn about ourselves and our characters, and so that when the time is right, you'll see that fruit during God's timing. So it sometimes may appear as if, oh, this isn't going right for me. You know, I'm committing myself to God, and things are just not going the way that I thought. But just, you know, keep hanging on.
This is a very good,
You know, I think, you know, you can act like, you know, you are in Christ and you have a relationship with him, and not producing any fruit. You know, I'll use myself as an example. You know, growing up, you know, I was in church. I wanted to be in church. I wanted to do church things, but I never had a connection with Christ. You know, until you start praying and still you start abiding in him, then you'll see those fruits coming in.
And then he cleans you, and it's painful. He cleanses you, but and it may be painful, but you start bearing even more fruits.
You know, I'm not a biologist by any means, but the branch...
You're a zoologist. You have your dog.
The branch is not the source of what it produces. The branch produces by its connection to the vine, and that is what empowers the branch. It flows through the branch. The branch is almost like a means of, you know, it's like a vessel, and it becomes filled with, it connects to the vine, and that is what produces.
This is very good, because you don't even have to be a biologist. If you read the Bible, you'll find
that's
the same way.
Very true.
Verse 4, let's go to John chapter 15, verse 4. And whoever would like to read.
Abide in me.
Yes.
And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me.
This is it. This is the 10. It's like we hit the 10. The mark, we hit the target. So this is exactly what is happening. And in fact, it is, I just have to say, because it's impossible. It's impossible not to bear fruits if you abide in Christ and connected to Christ. If you're connected to Christ, you will definitely bear fruits. Definitely bear fruits. But what are those fruits? And what does it mean to abide in Jesus Christ? We will find out right after the break. So you don't want to miss.
That's right, Oleg. And before we go to break, I want to just say, hey, how you doing? You look good. We want to hear from you. Answer our question today. How do we know we are abiding in Jesus? See you soon.
back. We are so happy that you are part of Cross Connection. We are so happy, aren't we? Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being a part of Cross Connection. But we just talked about, and it was a very, praise God that we learned that every branch that is in Him is not taken away. Mm-hmm. Because if you're in Him, you will always be lifted up. Even if you don't bear fruit, God will clean you, cleanse you, and then you will start bearing fruits. And more fruits, and more fruits, and more fruits. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and let's talk about those fruits. What are those fruits that we will bear? What is the first verse that comes to your mind?
Oh, the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Galatians. Yeah, Galatians, what is it? Galatians chapter 5, yes?
Yes.
And verse 22, 23, I guess it is. Yeah, let's go. 22, 23, and 24. Yeah, Galatians chapter 5. Yeah, and... Elroy, could you read for us Galatians chapter? Yeah, the fruit of what are those fruits of the Spirit?
But the fruit of the Spirit, reading from verse 22.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace,
yes,
long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self control.
When you read, when you, yeah, exactly. Oh mercy, it's like oh mercy. Let's take a look at those again. The fruit of the Spirit is love. What else?
Joy. Peace.
Long
suffering.
Yeah.
Kindness, goodness, faithfulness.
Kindness, goodness. Yeah, go ahead.
Gentleness.
Gentleness.
Goodness,
faithfulness,
gentleness, and self-control. Those are not very easy, yeah. But is it possible?
Oh yeah.
I mean, if you remain in Christ and His Spirit is dwelling in you, and I think you're dwelling in His Spirit, then eventually you are going to produce just by remaining, you know, connected to Him.
Mm-hmm. This is so important. And you brought up something that we read in verse 4 of John chapter 15, verse 4. In us, we cannot do those things on our own. Can we?
No.
Luis, can we?
No.
Yeah, it's impossible. But Jesus says, neither can you unless you abide in me. Mm-hmm. So you cannot do those things unless you abide in me. Mm. What does it mean? Yeah, what does it mean to you?
I guess just going back to the fruit of the Spirit,
yes,
where it just seems so impossible to encompass all of those attributes, mm-hmm, but how it's the fruit.
Yeah. Yes.
It's not fruits.
Okay.
And just, it really takes a miracle, and it takes really continuing in Christ to be able to even have any of that. Mm-hmm. And so it's a reminder that that without Him, we can do nothing.
Yeah, this is a very good, and to be honest, my favorite part of the fruit of the Spirit is actually the very last, which is verse 24. Let's jump there for 1 second. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. And those who are in Christ, who are Christ's, mm-hmm, have crucified the flesh, mm-hmm, with its passions and desires.
Mm-hmm.
So just be crucified with Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus Christ, now you live in me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dying for myself. Yeah. And that's why Paul was constantly reminding us, I have been crucified with Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we want to experience. Okay, let's move on. Because this is the most important question that we are heading to. We've discovered what it means to, that it is very very important for us to abide in Jesus Christ. We've discovered that.
Mm-hmm.
We've discovered that if you abide in Him, you will not be just cut off.
Mm-hmm.
You will be lifted up. You will be cleansed. You will bear more fruits. We discovered that if we do not abide in Jesus Christ, we just automatically fall apart, mm-hmm, fall away automatically. Because if you do not abide, you just wither and you're just thrown into the fire.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to be in Jesus Christ. Yeah. How do I do it then?
Mm-hmm.
How do I do it?
Right, and that's our question that
exactly
we're asking everyone. So I'll jump in with some more tips.
Yes, and then we will expand on those tips.
Yeah, we have some tips, thankfully, from good folks at home watching. And I'll read one from Ren. She wrote in through, wrote in through Facebook. We know we are abiding in Jesus if love motivates us to, mm-hmm, spend time with Him and obey Him.
Mm-hmm.
And if it also motivates us to love others as we love ourselves. We're talking about fruits of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Love. Love is the thing that helps us abide in Jesus.
And no wonder it's the first one that is mentioned there, right. Love.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen. ladies and gentlemen who are watching us, wherever you're watching us, we do want to abide in Jesus Christ. But let's talk about how we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It sounds really simple, but it's abiding, just staying with him. Mm-hmm. How do you stay with somebody, like in a relationship? You know, you can't not communicate with somebody or else someone might just break up with you. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, hopefully that won't be the case right away.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. So you've been married for 6 months. Yeah. So
but we do need to communicate. We need to be able to serve one another. Mm-hmm. And so I guess, you know, using that relationship with Christ is by spending time with him. Where is he found? He's found in the Word.
Yeah.
And the way we're breaking it down and talking about it and actually communing with him and praying. And so I guess just prayer and spending time in his Word. Yeah. It sounds really, it's like, hello, it's very elementary, but this is where profundity takes place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is so beautiful. No, this is great. Yeah. Please, thank you so much for this great reminder.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, it's really important because I don't think that there's only one thing that we can do, but mm-hmm. I think the Word is a huge part of it. And I think in John 14, we saw how Jesus said he was going to send his Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important when we read his Word to open our hearts up to his Spirit. Otherwise, we're just projecting our own interpretations onto the Word. But Jesus says in chapter 7 of verse John 15,
okay,
says, you abide in me and my words abide in you. Mm. You know, that it's the words of Jesus Christ. That's what we need, is his words. And we get that obviously through Scripture. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, please.
You know, this takes me back to ninth grade biology. Remember, you know, studying the anatomy of the tree. You know, here in verse 6, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The branches get their minerals, their sources, their energy from the trunk, from the vine. You know, that's where you get all the nutrients, everything from the water goes from underneath. So Jesus is saying, if you don't have a connection with me, the vine, the branch, you won't get none of that. How do we get that? Through prayer. We know Jesus, when he was on this earth, he prayed continually. Prayer, desire of ages says prayer was what gave him strength and vigor for daily, you know, energy. Mm-hmm. So we know that we need to have prayer and reading the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is so great because, you see, and again, just jump into the temple that is behind Sergio. For many Jews, that was the only place where they could actually, it was a portal to God. Mm-hmm. That was the only place where they could see, I'm going to go to God. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the temple. The prayers were heard from somewhere, from some other in the Old Testament. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the most powerful prayers were said in the temple. Mm-hmm. The most powerful, the most miracles were taking place, of course, in the temple, because this is where God himself is dwelling. Mm-hmm. But Jesus says, wait a second. I want you to abide in me, not when you come to the temple, mm-hmm. because you will abide in me all the time. Yeah. Now the temple comes to you.
Amen.
Wow, this is revolutionary. When the disciples were listening to it, they were like, what? This is unheard of. Yeah. Mm. Now, but this is so great because God says, you know, I want to commune with you daily. Mm. You don't have to go to the temple and carry your sacrifice. Yeah. Now you can come to me every day, every morning. Wake up, Lord, I know that you are with me and I am with you. Let's start the day. Mm. And off we go on this great adventure of life. Until the end of our days.
Right.
Yeah. What does it mean to abide in Jesus Christ then?
Well, you know, it seems like we're a little bit in agreement here as our cross-connection family here. Yeah. And our cross-connection family, extended family, is in agreement with us too, because Nancy writes in through text message. Text message is a great way to contact us, by the way. You don't have to log into Facebook. No, just shoot a text. It's super easy. Anyway, Nancy says, when we follow what God's Word tells us to do, kindness, love, forgiveness, peace, and many other things, the most important is to love one another. So it's exactly like the text in Galatians that we read. Nancy's echoing that. Get into the Word, and all these other fruits of the Spirit come from that.
Mm. Yeah,
I agree with Nancy. I mean, I know a philosopher once said, you know, I think, therefore I am. So if you literally are meditating on those fruits, So if you're meditating on those fruits, you know, the love, the joy, the peace, then eventually, because you're thinking about it, it's eventually going to be produced through your actions.
Mm. But let me tell you even, like, let me add even more, because what if we were reading, have you ever thought why there is four Gospels? Mm. Why there is not even one Gospel? There is one book of Daniel, just one. The book of Revelation, just one. Mm-hmm. And the prophecy is only like two chapters of the gospel. Of the gospel according to Daniel, because it's also the gospel.
So there are five gospels.
Because it's also the gospel. But the book of Daniel, the book of Revelation. Yeah. But there is four gospels talking about the same Jesus Christ, and also Paul and Peter and John, first epistle of John, etc. And also the book of Revelation. They all talk about who? Yeah. Just one Jesus Christ. Yeah. So, how important it is for us to think about Jesus at least 1 hour a week. At least once a day.
We can do better than that. Yeah.
Just once a day. Not when we say this word, when we say, oh, et cetera. And then
but isn't that what's so amazing about abide in me? It's not check in on me every once in a while. I miss you. You know, abide in me. Live in me and I'll live in you. It's not a sometimes proposition. It's a live in me. I'm going to live in you. It's a constant thing. Like Paul says, pray without ceasing. It's a constant, constant thing.
This is so amazing. So to abide in Jesus means actually to pray and to live in harmony with God's will and also with His Word. God's will and God's Word. God's will and God's Word. And prayer. Pray and live in God's will, God's Word. The Scripture. We need to take this very short break, unfortunately, but after the break, we will come back and we will be looking forward to your comments.
That's right, Ollie. When we come back, we're going to be coming back with your responses to our question. Now's the perfect time because this is the last chance to text, Facebook, tweet, whatever you want to do to our question, how do we know we are abiding in Jesus?
Welcome back. We are discussing John chapter 15, and we just learned that it's important for us to abide in Jesus Christ. Because if you abide in Him, you will bear fruits. And we want to bear those fruits, and we want to learn how to abide in Jesus Christ. And what we just learned, what is the summary? Elroy, what is the summary of what we learned? What does it really mean to abide in Jesus Christ then?
To stay connected. You know, this is a God who invites us to dwell with Him. You know, John 1:14 said the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So He wanted to dwell and spend time with us. And because of that, I think we should spend time with Him as a result.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is so amazing because I just happen to see the temple more than you do. But it just happened to be in front of my eyes. But it's amazing because it's like the temple was the place where people would come. But Jesus says, as we talked about, that Jesus says, I will bring the temple to you now. So it's like God says, I will. We always think about God who is in heaven only. But God says, no, I want to come down and just and dine with you and be with you and abide in you. And you, I want you to abide in me. Because there is the desire. My desire to abide in you is so strong. That the first thing that Adam and Eve sinned against God, God started looking for them, asking, where are you, Adam? And he was hiding. So He's constantly in search of men.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and we've been talking, we'll continue to talk about how we can get connected, how we can abide in Jesus. But if the Gospels tell us anything, it's that God is so desperate to connect with us. I mean, if Jesus' life tells us anything, it's God will go through extraordinary lengths to connect with us. So if it's something where we have to worry, oh, am I connected? How do I? It's not. It's just turn to Jesus.
Exactly.
And you're
going
to, because He wants desperately to connect with you. And that's what I love about these few chapters we've been reading.
Okay, let's read one more verse. And we will, if you have any suggestions to read, obviously, let's jump there as well. Verse 10, chapter 15, verse 10.
If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love.
So what is the, how can we also, like this is like the solution to it as well. If you want to abide in me, just keep my words, keep my commandments, keep what I said. And just as I kept the commandments of my Father, what He said to me, I am doing the will of God. And I abided in His love, and His love was in me. And I abided in, so this is, it's all about love and this fulfillment of His sayings, fulfillment of His teachings, fulfillment of His commandments, ultimately.
And it's like just kind of pleading. This is, I'm just thinking about the disciples and the dissension, the disunity that was taking place at the time, and just how he's trying to encourage you, stay connected with me. I want to stay connected with you in heaven because he's about to part. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, you know, he says, hey, stay connected. We will always be connected through heaven this way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is a very good point. Because we read that in the previous chapter, and I would encourage you to read the entire Gospel according to John till we meet next week on Cross Connection. Don't forget that we are here every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. This is what is also great, because in the previous chapter we said that Jesus is saying, I am leaving you. Mm. I am leaving you. But take courage, because I will be with you always in the form of the Holy Spirit.
Right. From now on. I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you.
Exactly. Yeah. I will come to you. And then verse 11. I want us to read verse 11, and then we will jump to our comments and conclusions. Mm-hmm. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be
full.
Yeah. Mm. Not just your joy. I am joyful. No. They're sad. Mm-hmm. Jesus is leaving. Mm. He says, my joy, the joy that I have, even though I'm sad to go on the cross, but I am joyful because I do the will of God. Previous verse. Mm. My commandments in you and I is in his commandment. God's commandment is in me, and I abide in his love. And that's why I'm joyful. Mm. And I want you to experience joy to its full expression, fullest. Okay, what have we learned today? What is your takeaway lesson? What is your takeaway lesson?
My takeaway lesson is just to remain connected. That's it, remain connected. You know, I think naturally you just feel disconnected all the time. It could be from friends, it could be from work, it could be from anything. But God is always saying, just stay connected to me. Why? Because I'm always searching for you and I'll always be with you no matter what.
Mm. Yeah.
This world is offering so many distractions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's try to stay connected.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I'll jump in with some more comments. So like Lindsay says on Facebook, she's talking about maybe more the result of what happens when we're connected with Jesus. She says, we will have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We'll be patient with others. We'll be kind, show unfailing love, and have self-control. We will be giving and forgiving and have Christ's joy radiating out of our lives. Self will be put aside and unselfish love will shine through instead. So I like that we're getting some comments, people saying, how do we connect? But also, what happens when we connect? I mean, we're transformed. It's not just a place we go to. We are changed, you know, and that's what I really appreciate about this as well, and what some of our viewers are saying.
And we constantly remind our viewers and also our readers of our blogs on Cross Connection website. Make sure to check us out, hopetv.org/crossconnection. You can always find our blogs there. We always remind people that if you connect with Jesus Christ, it's impossible not to be transformed.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's impossible. Nowhere in the Bible will you find a story where somebody came to Jesus and they went their previous life, old life.
Yeah. No. That's true. I mean, Jesus is such we talk biology, we'll talk chemistry now. Jesus is, he's such a potent chemical agent that it's impossible to encounter him and have a neutral inner reaction. Yeah. You know, there'll be some sort of combustion there. There'll be some sort of chemical reaction. Something will change in you when you encounter Jesus always.
And your heart will be on fire.
Yeah. Amen. So I want to come in with another comment. We have a text message. It's anonymous. I don't have a name for this one that talks about this very thing. It says, this confirmation is definitely emotional. When you know you can feel special, you can feel like you're important, like you're contributing and really working for God, referring to bearing fruits. So I love how that specialness of being connected to God.
Yeah.
You know, you talked about the world offering many things, and I was thinking of joy and love and the fruits of the Spirit. It reminds me of this old song that we all grew up singing. I have the joy, 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 joy. Down in my heart.
I don't remember this song.
It says, I am so happy, so very happy, because I have the love of Jesus in my heart. Mm-hmm. And you get that love and you get that joy because you have a connection to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So God is saying, listen, I came in Eden, spent time with you. I came in the wilderness, spent time with you. I came, you know, with the Jews, spent time with them. Now I'm telling you, I want to take you to heaven. Be happy, be joyful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rejoice.
Yeah, rejoice. Yeah.
And I thought about the pruning, the cleaning aspect of it, where, you may not be at maybe the place that you want to be, but it's okay. Continue to abide. Continue on, and there's so much more fruit that's awaiting.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, so, you know, Oleg, I feel like I have an apology to make because Addie Bukala, who comments on Facebook, she's like, She's a regular of our Cross Connection team. She comments all the time. She had a great comment the other week, and I couldn't get to it, so I'm going to make sure that I get her comment in here now, because I really like it. She says, falling out of the habit of going deep into God's Word makes me feel disconnected. Mm. My experience reinforces Hebrews 4:12, that the Word is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. As a friend pointed out, His Word is cutting away what we don't need. It prunes us, like we've talked about. Mm-hmm. So we need to stay connected to the Word to be healthy branches. So I feel the same way. When we don't get deep into the Word, then you feel disconnected. And so I'm glad I have Cross Connection in my life to do that very thing.
Praise God. And let's just comment on the same what was just said. In verse 3, John chapter 15, verse 3, you are already clean because of the Word which I have spoken to you. So if you want to be clean and cleansed, and if you want to continue bearing fruits, just be clean in His Word, because you will be clean because of the Word which Jesus, has spoken to us.
Mm-hmm. Powerful.
Amen.
Yeah. This is what Jesus is saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, what are a few, we have only 2 minutes left. So what are your takeaway lessons?
And we will... Well, I'll just jump in with some more of your comments then, Please. Oleg. I have a comment from Judy May. She says on Facebook, He's the first person we go to. He's the one we feel we can't do without. He is our resting place right inside us where no one else comes. We love Him, and it feels okay somewhere that feels like a root inside. I like that, touching upon the fact that this isn't a command Jesus is giving us. Mm-hmm. Jesus is He's the solution to that hole we feel in our heart. You know, this isn't something like a command. We should feel joy, like you said before, because He's offering us that something that will fill that hole in our heart, and that something that fills a fundamental need that we have. So I really like what Judy May had to say there. I'll jump in with a few more comments. Let's see, Azariah says on Facebook, we know we are abiding in Jesus when we manifest that 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love toward not only our friends, but our enemies. Mm-hmm. The Bible tells us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Self-sacrificing, unconditional love is key. I love that comment because it's not something we've really talked about yet. The type of love that might not be easy,
yes,
but it's the type of love Jesus had for us.
And this is exactly what John chapter 15, verse 13 says. Mm. Let's read that verse as well.
Okay. Yeah.
Verse 13, it says, greater love has no one than this, that to lay down one's life for his friends. Mm. Who laid down his life for his friends?
Christ.
Christ. Mm. Jesus Christ. Mm. Oh, well, it's been a very great study today. And if you have any comments, this is the first, this is a perfect time, perfect 15 seconds that you can send her.
Should I jump in with more? I'll jump in with
more comments, yeah.
I have a comment. I'll read a comment from Revelance. It says, our lives will change for the best. Things we used to do that is not of God, we do them no more, and we have this urgency to always want to worship God by all means necessary.
Mm. Praise God, praise God. Thank you very much for joining us. It's been a great discussion, and I was blessed.
Amen. Yeah. So was I.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you very much, Luis. Thank you very much, Joel. Thank you, Elroy. Praise God.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Let's continue abiding in Jesus Christ. In John chapter 15, Jesus is speaking of the intimate relationship that we can enjoy and cultivate with Him. Mm. Branches that decide to grow by themselves and try living without the life of the vine soon discover their mistake. Mm. They wither and die immediately and are good for nothing but the fire only. But branches that remain in the vine and submit to the pruner's knife when necessary, live and bear fruits. They thrive. Mm. That is this prospect that Jesus holds out to His followers, to all of us. He wants you to live and bear fruits. Mm. So abide in Christ and enjoy everyday union with Jesus Christ. Until next week, stay connected with Him in your everyday life and also on Cross Connection.